Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon.
I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
Won't you get fired?
I don't know.
Jeremy White.
So you're going to quit?
Nuh-uh, not really. I'm just going to stop going.
What are you going to do about money and bills and...
You know, I've never really liked paying bills. I don't think
I'm... WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I know we have a lot of bill stuff to get to. Let me just share a quick dream.
Okay, is this a dream you hope for a day we can... Okay, it's an actual just you were sleeping
No,
last
I actually
night.
Had this dream last night.
Okay.
You know, I've told you from time to time, I don't know if you do, right? Maybe we all do. I do dream about work every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, fairly frequently, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, had a dream last night. You and I were doing the show. That's usually what I'm dreaming about. Jeremy and I are working somewhere. We're out on location. We're doing the show from a restaurant. So we're sitting in the booth. We're doing the show. People are coming in and out eating their breakfast. And we're talking. We're just yapping. And all of a sudden, I look at my phone and I see what time it is. And it says 7:07 and we haven't taken a break yet.
Like we did a full hour and
we
five,
did
7 minutes.
A full hour. Like, we just kept talking and didn't even take a single break in the first hour. And at 7:07, I realized, oh, God, we haven't taken a break yet. And Joe, by the way, is, like, laughing right now and nodding as he's going, yeah. You sure that was a dream? You sure it didn't happen, Howard?
We could do that.
Yes, we could absolutely do that. Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Has it been done? Has 7:07 been done?
No. I would say the latest we've gone, I don't know, what, 10 minutes late?
Probably 6:35, 6:40.
Yeah. I would say, I don't know about 6:40. Going to break? I would say 6:35 is a pretty good bet.
There needs to be some type of like a swear jar type system where every minute that you go over, something goes in the swear jar. And it's like a luxury tax. So every minute it's like doubles.
I thought you were going to do like electric shock, like a little zap every time you're like a minute or two late to the break.
I mean, we could probably figure that out too. We could do both.
Let's not do that because that would, I would be in a great amount of pain.
This is a good time to ask if Joe knows of the genesis of Extendo Sports and how it came to be and why we have that segment called Extendo Sports every day.
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Well, it really doesn't really mean anything anymore. But back in aught.
Oh my goodness.
Aught six.
Would have been during. Well, I'm trying to think. We can narrow it down by trying to remember who was producing. Hager, Fisher.
Nick Mendola was on staff at the time for sure.
So Hager Mendola.
Okay.
So pre-collar.
Yeah. So all right. The computer went out. And we just had to keep talking. And that's it.
That's it.
We had no commercial ability. We had no nothing. It just became, let's just keep talking for the next half hour. So we did, and we got to a bunch of different sports stories, and we called it Extendo Sports. And in that initial version, I think it had to be Nick Mendola, because he was doing impressions of the people whose sound we'd play. Like, oh, and Marty Baron after the game said it was a heck of a fight. And, you know, there's Nick being like, oh, yeah, man, well, you know, I did it right.
Oh, Lindy.
Yeah, so that's how Extendo Sports came to be. It was like 15 years ago.
Now, the best part of the story, Joe, is the name. We, in theory, Extendo Sports was we were going longer because we lost, right? We just kept talking. We had to fill time.
Yep.
Overtime because we are occasionally not on schedule.
Uh-huh.
Extendo Sports eventually got to the point where we had like this fast music bed playing because Extendo Sports sometimes is like a 45-second segment, like a minute or 2 minutes because we're super late from the 9:30. So there is – Extendo Sports, ironically, is one of the shorter segments of the show.
Yeah it's like – we got to get a name for it. Maybe a new one. It's like our bank account where we pay all of the late fees in Extendo Sports by going for only like a 2 minute segment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We borrow it from here to give it to the, you know, this segment, which I'm sure will be laid in the next like that. Yeah.
So anyway, you're part of a train wreck, Joe. I mean, this show has been a you-know-what show for, you know, 17 years.
Or, I mean, what would the opposite then of that be? That the genesis of Extendo Sports. Just blast a train horn right at the top of the hour, and everyone gets turned off the moment the clock hits zero.
Well, if you go back far enough in WGR's history, we used to, at the end of every segment, play outro music. When it was 30 seconds to break, they would play it like the Academy
Awards. Like the Oscars.
Yeah. And start playing this music.
And louder and louder.
Yeah.
Didn't matter.
It was time to wrap up. Here comes your out cue.
Totally didn't matter.
Yeah, we did away with that.
Doesn't matter. I'm pretty oblivious to clocks and time. And there's a clock on my, the time is on my computer. The time is on my call screen. There's a clock. There's two different clocks, old fashioned and digital, in the studio. There's four places, my phone, there's five places to find out what time it is.
You're wearing a watch?
No.
Okay, so five.
What's the point? I never would check it. there's five places to check the time in any given segment here. And yeah,
it's being accepted.
It was accepted a long time ago. It's a birthright now. I don't know if that's the proper term. But anyway, I digress. I just thought I'd share that with you, Jeremy, because sometimes, you know, you wake up first thing in the morning, you think of, wow, I had that dream last night. And actually, the exact time, I remember thinking, it wasn't just, oh, we're late to break. It was, oh my God, it's 7:07. We haven't taken a break yet.
Yeah.
All right. We won't beat that record this morning.
Speaking of late, I was up late last night with a couple things. We've got sick kids, which keep you up late. But also, you know, sick kids gives me an opportunity to stay up and watch a bad football game a little more than I wanted to. That Giants-Cowboys game. What do you want first? You want the fun stuff about it, or do you want the snark?
Okay, first off, I think you deserve some kind of award. You and anybody else who gets up early for work in the morning and decided to stay up late the last two nights to watch San Francisco, Denver, and Dallas and the Giants. I'm going to guess San Francisco, Denver was the worst of the two.
Ooh, I don't know about that. It's close.
Close, neck and neck?
Yeah, the Giants game did open up late, but it was real bad early on.
Congratulations to Sneaky Joe, who somewhere in the middle to late last week said, hey guys, have you seen the lineup for the primetime games?
Yeah.
And it turned out they were as bad as people thought they were going to be. I did not. So you tell me, I did not stay up. I actually checked in on Aaron Judge's first at bat in Toronto. And when he singled to left, I promptly said, I'm done for the night. I'm going to read a book. So you'll have to fill me in.
How about that the NFL, I think the NFL stopped ESPN from cutting into Monday Night Football for
good
the Judge.
Yeah, I know you brought this up. I wasn't watching Wake Forest. I was going back and forth for Wake Forest Clemson because it was a hell of a game. But I saw a story today that people were really upset, as well they should be. I'm not a fan of the cut-in split screen. If I want to see a game, I'll find a way to watch it. I could have, if I wanted to see what Aaron, I did. I was watching college football on my phone. I have the, the MLB app open to tell me when Judge is coming up in the order. Oh, Judge is coming up. Let me switch over to wherever the game was, MLB Network, ESPN. So, yeah, I do not like that. I'm not a fan of split screens, and I understand people were livid because they just spent so much time taking a Clemson-Wake Forest game that was dramatic and splitting the screen on it. So they need to stop doing that.
Splitting the screen to see if a man can tie his team's record in
home
runs.
Well, see, that's the thing. He hasn't even broken Maris yet. I'm watching. Don't get me wrong. It is history, but like the other day they said, if you know, the 61st ball, if he hit it and tied Maris the other day at Yankee Stadium during the Sox series, right, they were saying it could get $2.5 million. And I thought, he's not breaking the record. He's just tying the 61. Anyway, I was watching, but I think if you want to see it, you'll find a way to see it. You should not take a college football audience, largely doesn't give a darn about Aaron Judge, and make them split the screen.
Yep.
Well, he didn't homer last night. You better hope he happens during the week so they don't do this again Saturday and Sunday.
Right. It's been a lot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Giants and the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy, Brian Daboll, Saquon Barkley looks like his old self.
Yeah.
But Cooper Rush is now 3-0 as
How about
a starter.
Yes. Quarterback controversy.
Well, here's the snark that I woke up to. I'd like to thank who wrote in for me with this. This would have been Brian who wrote in. Thank you, Brian, for waking me up with this tweet. Cooper Rush is 3-0 in one-score games as a starter.
Did you see? Wait,
he only accounts for 65% of his team's yards.
As opposed to 85%.
The Cowboys clearly have the dream scenario. They win the close games, and their quarterback doesn't do too much.
Did you see the tweet from Yards Per Pass?
Depends which one. Howard, I spent more time than I should be willing to admit arguing with people on the internet about the things people are saying about the Bills.
And games.
I shouldn't have done it yesterday because I'm prepared to do it more today.
No, I know because I follow you on Twitter. I'm thinking of muting you or blocking you or just unfollowing you, I should say.
It's a good idea.
I wouldn't even say it's not even a rabbit hole thing. You were just knee deep in debate.
Yes. I was in like a parking lot of a Target waiting for answering questions. No, I'm here to just smash this narrative, and of course, Monday Night Football's countdown crew has to talk about the Bills in close games, and yeah, I got into it pretty deep.
Get the Jay Cutler soundbite. Don't care. Adam Gase, so this was the Yards Per Pass tweet. Remember Adam Gase, the former head coach of the Miami Dolphins and New York Jets?
Oh, yeah.
Would you say he was a success or failure as a head coach?
Generally considered a bit of a laughing stock.
Mm. So Yards Per Pass tweeted this out. Gase's record in Miami in one-score games. There were 26 one-score games while he was in Miami. Would you boys care to guess what his record was?
I saw this tweet, so I do.
Joe,
know.
Did you see the tweet?
I did not, but I'm guessing because you bring it up, it's really good.
Uh-huh. 20-6 in one-score games. Well, that worked out really well for him. Now, I guess I should have done the math and said, in other games, what was his record in Miami? Because obviously he was a failure and he was fired. And people look back at Adam Gase as the Dolphins and the Jets as a joke of a head coach and a guy who really held both franchises back, right? This is the guy, well, whatever, I'm not going to get into Adam Gase discussion. My point is, there are a lot of things I'm thinking about and I care about. More than anything else right now, it is injuries and different issues because of injuries and Baltimore on Sunday. I could care less how much they win games by or how often they play one-score games because who cares? Adam Gase did not win a Super Bowl. He was 20-6 in one-score games, and it amounted to what? Nothing. It just meant those teams played a lot of close games, I guess, and somehow they managed a way to win. When they lose, like maybe they were blown out all the time. Who cares? I got other fish to fry. I don't really care about, you know, what the final margin of victory is. I guess I would care, Jeremy, if I felt it indicated a fatal flaw. It doesn't indicate a fatal flaw. And we can go back and look at the last 7 one-score games and point out if McKenzie gets out of bounds and Bass kicks the field goal. Anybody bringing up that they're, oh my God, they're only 1-7 or 1-6 in one score games since the start of last season. If there weren't hurricane wins last year in Monday Night Football, wasn't that a one score game?
It was.
Are we talking about one score games? If they actually showed up and played in Jacksonville, I mean, if it was a fatal flaw and indicated this coaching staff freezes up in one score games, then I would say, that's the reason to be concerned. But I guess in 2020, when they were great in one-score games, what happened? Did they all of a sudden become nervous in 2021 in one-score games? Now they freeze up when 2 years ago they were, what, 7-1, 6-1, whatever the record. It's just there's other stuff to be worried about. This is not one of them.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot about it that we could dig into. And it's not to confuse with I'm not concerned with their losses and why they lose games. Of course you are. It's about whether or not it's predictive or there's a trend. You know, one of my biggest issues with the whole thing, if you were watching the Giants and the Cowboys last night, it was 23-13 late.
Yeah.
And the Giants need, obviously, a touchdown and a field goal, right? And they're going down the field, and it comes to fourth down, and what do? They kick the field goal. And then the Cowboys get their stop, and the game's over. If Brian Daboll decides he wants to go for the fourth down touchdown first,
yep,
and doesn't get it, guess what? That wasn't a one score game. Sorry, guys.
Right, you lost. Like, that's right. It's
you're only judging it on the final actual.
Sure.
When clocks hit zero, that was a game that was in leverage in the fourth quarter, and the Bills have had plenty of those that they have won, and they. It's like they're so good at one-score games that they become two-score games.
Well, and the other thing, too, I think about with one-score games, naturally, if it's a one-score game, of course there's going to be more scrutiny on a single call, a single decision, clock management. What did you do in your two-minute offense before halftime? Why didn't you go for fourth and three in this instance in the fourth quarter? Of course, if you lose by 10, 14, 17, 20, nobody's pinpointing, you know, that fourth and four at the 20, I have no idea why he didn't go for it. The closer the game, the more we're going to talk about, did you blow timeouts? Was there a bad challenge? Why did you punt here? Why didn't you go for it? You know, we're going to, and by the way, which... because of the nature of the sport and the games that are won a week, of course we analyze everything to the nth degree. But in a one-score game, yeah, you're going to talk more about a coach's decision as opposed to if the Bills lost on Sunday by 17. Who's talking about, you know, that fourth and four at the 20? He should have gone for it. We wouldn't be focusing in on that or anything else specifically from the game. You know, why didn't they have Josh under center on goal line at the end, goal to go? Because it would have been a larger loss. Yes, a one-score game means we're going to think more often about a moment, a single decision by a coach, a coordinator. It's the nature of the outcome of the result is going to make you think, you know what? This is the one moment where they really screwed up.
Yeah.
It's natural.
Right. And I, you know, part of this whole the Bills are good now makes me wonder a certain couple things about this team. Because I think you have a lot of Bills fans whose confidence is not shaken by what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you do have to, and I understand this part of it, you do have to give a, well, why? And let's be honest, coaches are more likely to catch the why than players are.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Allen, we all know, and Josh would tell you, missed a bunch of passes he probably should have made.
Right.
He also made a bunch of incredible plays. It's hard to ever really get on Josh because he consistently carries this team to, you know, whether it's down the field late or early on, I mean, 8 straight opening touchdown drives. He threw for 400 yards.
Yep.
They asked him to drop back 70 times. So it's hard to be mad at him because he made enough plays to win.
But he threw a few passes that could have been intercepted by the Dolphins, and they didn't make plays.
Right. 3 interceptable passes, according to Pro Football Focus.
All right.
You know, the whatever. I'm not here to say he played poorly, but he's not someone that we often give a lot of blame to. You could give blame to Gabriel Davis because he dropped a touchdown.
Yep.
But who wants to really do that because Gabe Davis has been really good for this team for quite a long time? You know, what this one-score game thing reveals, more than arguing about whether or not that's a thing that's important to measure, is how people feel about McDermott. And it's just, you know, it's a little bit of you curate your own news feed. If you think McDermott is holding the team back, you're going to seize on 0-7 in the last 7 one-score games. You don't want to talk about 2021. You think he's bad.
Yeah.
And I'm even if you're right, I'm not saying you're wrong, doesn't matter if you're wrong or right. But if you think he is holding them back, it's something you are going to seize on.
Sure.
And you're getting after that. And if you think Josh is amazing, you're not going to get mad at him. I mean, people have been calling for Von Miller today or in yesterday. Hmm. Where was Von Miller in this game?
Yeah.
Well, first off, what is his snap count in a game where the starting quarterback threw 18 passes?
Well, yeah, I mean, they had 39 defensive snaps, and right, as you said, they didn't really throw the ball that much. So that's not something I would focus on and say I'm really worried about Von Miller. He disappeared in South Florida.
Right. We all have, and I mean, all of us, I'm not picking on anybody, we all have our own things you tend to go towards about, I thought that would be a problem. For instance, for me, it's running the ball too much and ineffectively. They run Zach Moss twice on the second drive. The third play is that strip sack fumble.
Yep, yep.
And I think, well, you deserved it because of your two runs. You know, you are going to just fall back to the things you already think. And if you think McDermott holds them back, then you're going to start to say, how come a team this good is losing one-score games? And I think asking the question is fine. Trying to make it some sort of bigger story. Colin Cowherd called the Bills the Mike Tyson of football. They're only good in short matches like knockouts. And, like, okay, well, what happened in 2020? right? Like, that did happen. We watched it all. They were great in close games.
Yeah.
So pick your narrative for the year, I guess. Do you remember, I was laughing at this yesterday, do you remember, and Joe, do you remember the 3 months that there was a question whether or not Josh Allen could play effectively in front of crowds?
Yeah.
Oh, like,
coming
on.
Out of the pandemic. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Like, come on with the, some of the things that we come up with.
Wait till the crowd noise comes back. He won't be as good on the road. All that, right? That was part of the discussion. His numbers won't be as good now because he'll be dealing with crowd noise.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't look. I think it's a fair point, Jeremy. As a sports fan, we do this. I do this. You, when you make a decision on someone in your mind, it's very hard to change that. A lot of times I think about this with players. If I get to a point where I just think a player's not good, he's got a – I mean, it's almost impossible in my mind for this guy to become better. I don't know. Dmitry Kulikov is always the first name that pops into my head. When I don't like a guy, I don't like a guy, and it's really hard for me to change my opinion on him. I don't feel that way about McDermott. Look, the coaches blew 13 seconds. We know that. But by and large, I think McDermott's a good coach. I don't look at this and say, you know, the Bills have put together a really good roster. The one thing that will prevent them from getting to and or winning a Super Bowl is their head coach. I don't feel that way. Now, I don't have any evidence to prove to the contrary because they haven't made it. But I don't look at that and say, this is a fatal flaw. Like, they're good. This is, I'm trying to think. What would be a good example here?
It's
Tony Dungy in Tampa. Well, like, hey, we're good, but you know what? We need a different coach to get us over the hump.
But it's really tough to ever find a fatal flaw because most of those narratives dissolve. Tony Dungy won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know?
In the, like, in the next stop, but yes, right.
Yes, he did.
Right.
Andy Reid was another coach that was moved
couldn't
on
get
from.
Past the conference champ.
I don't think he's ever going to win a Super Bowl.
That's right.
Oh, now he's got one, and he'll probably get more.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, I mean, he might not be. Peyton Manning can't win the big game. Like, most of the time, the fatal flaw conversation goes away.
Yeah, and that's why I said, I think, you know, the one-score game, I think there are a lot of things you could point about it. But, you know, again, honestly, I'd be more concerned about how this team can't win a road playoff game under Sean McDermott than talking about, well, they've lost seven straight one-score games. You know, there are other – this is why we talk about the one seed so much. But remember this too, Jeremy. You pointed it out a moment ago. When you get to the point where you're this good, everything is under the microscope. And there can be a tendency to, myself included, freak out and overreact. I'm not from Sunday's game, but I know how it works, right? When Kansas City became really good, if Mahomes had a bad game or two, we would start talking about what's wrong with the Chiefs, what happened to Andy Reid, why are you so conservative, what, you know, what, Bieniemy's play calling, whatever. There would be so much more discussion about what's going on in Kansas City if they lost a game or two when they became the dominant gold standard team in the NFL. All right, well, now the Bills are in that neighborhood, so if something goes wrong, we didn't have to worry about it against the Rams, didn't have to worry about it against the Titans. When something goes wrong, all of a sudden, everything is under the microscope. Like I said, for me, I look at, like, actual, to me, serious issues, and it's hides out and defensive injuries, and Bates is in concussion protocol. The guy who was the backup outside wide receiver, he's out for several weeks with an ankle sprain. Like, to me, and you're playing Baltimore Sunday? That's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about one scores and McDermott and Josh accounting for 85% of the offense, which is another discussion to have this morning.
Right. It is another discussion. It's a fun one, too.
Well, okay, you know what? I'll tell you what.
Let's, with it.
Yeah, let's break because it's, we can
all
actually
talk about being late. You're committed to it right now.
I know.
Huh?
I just looked at the clock and I thought it's not 7:07. It's 6:25. So let's get out on time. We'll make Joe's morning. Joe, enjoy this this getting out on time. Not happening again. 803-0550 to join us. Okay, Bills fans, it's still a lot to get to from the Miami game, the follow-ups yesterday. Ken Dorsey talked about his outburst in the coach's booth. We're going to get to that.
He got in trouble.
He got in trouble?
Yeah. Right?
What do you
McDermott
mean?
When McDermott says,
oh, I spoke,
we addressed that.
I spoke to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
He got in trouble.
Right. Is he on super secret probation or something like that? Or double secret probation? What was it in Animal House? So we'll get to that too. 803-0550 to join us. Whatever's on your Bill's mind on this Tuesday morning. Phone lines are open. We will have Paul Hamilton on the show this morning at 7:30. Sabres are home tonight for the Flyers. Matt Bove from Channel 7 and the It's Always Game Day podcast with Sal is going to join us at 9, and we'll pick the Bills later. I'm just not sure exactly when. I should
probably
check.
Hey, it's exciting again. You know, we've got some storylines. If this were like the Truman Show or whatever, the producers of Pick the Bills have decided to really spice things up.
Yeah, with the loss on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks for doing that, by the way. Was that your doing?
Well, now you can pick any loss, and some people will be like, oh, they'll probably move more than that.
I'm going to go back to picking the Lions, I guess. I'll have to go figure that out. Anyway.
Look good.
Yeah, right. But DeAndre, he'll be back by that game. Stop, Howard. 803-0552. Join us this morning on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.